continue today in our series, Who is the Father? We just finished up the series, Who is the Holy Spirit? And then right into the series, Who is the Son? Now we're doing Who is the Father? We call it the 3G network, right? The 3G network. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right there, we got the 3G network, the first original 3G network. And today, we are excited to continue. Last week, we started this series on Who is the Father, talking about the Father is what? The Father is good. How many know God is good? Now, I tell you what, after last week's sermon, that should really excite you to know that God is good. Because if you've been raised in church at all, you've heard that statement all your life. God is good. And if you're like me, you know, it kind of gets, when I was growing up, I thought that's just one of those cliches Christians just say all the time, just to make something cute to say, you know. You ever think that when you're with some churches, well, they just make that up just to say that, you know, get on your nerves as a kid. They always say, every service, God is good. But you know, as you really have understanding, God is good. And that really changes the nature of your relationship with Him when you can really have that fullness of understanding that God is good. That is really who He is. And everything comes out of His goodness for us and for creation. That He created the universe. And it was what? It was good, man. When God created the heavens and earth, it was good. Because why? Because all creation reflects on who He is. And so when He stopped and looked at the universe and saw and looked at the trees of the field and the ocean and the animals, and He looked at everything, He said, they are good, man. This is good. Why? Because it reflected who He was. When Moses passed by Him, He said, God, show me Your glory. Show me what You're famous for. God, show me the most important part of who You are. It says that God said this, Moses, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to show you My goodness. That's who God is. His goodness is abundant. And we have to realize that God is good and everything comes out of His goodness. Well, today we're going to talk about the Father is omni, or omni, whichever you want to say. Omni. The Father is omni. And today you say, what does omni mean? Omni simply means all. And you put the rest of it with it. It means all. We're going to talk about how all powerful our God is, how much all knowing He is and all present He is today. The scripture is very clear. It talks about the God that He is all everywhere. And He is all knowing. He is all powerful. What does this actually mean? And how does it relate to you and I today? We're going to dive into this and look at it. So let's get right into it. First of all, we see in scripture, the Father is omnipotent. There you go. He is all powerful. That means He is all powerful. He is all power. God has all power and ability to perform all His decrees. God is good, right? God is good, but God is good is not very much if He doesn't have the power to back it up. You know, you ever had compassion for somebody who maybe was going through something, but you didn't have the power really to help them? And even though you had goodness to give to them and you had maybe some understanding, you really didn't have any power to help them. And it really, you felt kind of weak because you wanted to help them, but you didn't have maybe the financial resources or maybe you didn't have what was necessary to help them. And you felt kind of, you know, I really want to help them, but I just can't. But, you know, even though your good intentions, they really couldn't be backed up because you didn't have the power to follow through what you really would like to do. I think we've all been in that situation before. But how many know a good news today is our God is not in situation. Not only does He have good intentions, have good plans, and God is good, but He has the power to back it up. That's a powerful statement. Our God has the power to back it up. He has not only the power, but He also has the ability to back it up. God is good, and He has the power to fulfill it. God has supreme power and absolute power. Let me say again, God has supreme power, and also He has absolute power. What does that mean? Supreme power means He has the right to act. Absolute power means He has the ability to do it. So when He created creation, He had what? He had supreme power. He had the right to create creation. He has supreme power. He had every right to create this universe and create you and I and create the heavens and the earth. He has supreme power. He had the right to do it. But He also has absolute power. He had the ability to do it. You see, God is twofold. He has supreme and absolute power. We can have peace in our life because we know that our God is all powerful. You and I can have complete peace and knowing that our God is all powerful and He is in control. Because God is all powerful, we have power over particularly three different areas. I want to talk to you real fast here. We have power in three different areas. Number one, we have power over sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's saying that God is all powerful, and he's given what? You and I the ability to have power over sin. Now, maybe today you say, Pastor, I've been taught that we'll just never overcome sin. And I say to you, you have the power to overcome sin in your life. Now, are we human beings? Are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we are. I'm flesh, and you and I, we're humans, and we're going to make mistakes in our life. But we also have the power to overcome sin in our life when we operate in it. And this is what the power that the Holy Spirit has given us. This is the power that God has given us, that he has given us. Any temptation that we go through, that God has always given us the way out if we will choose to follow that way. He is all powerful. Romans 8:11 says that we have power over our bodies. He has power over our bodies. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. Man, he has given you power over our physical bodies. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You know, Easter morning, you've seen that scene when the tomb, and the light comes, the angel, and you've got the goosebumps. You've ever seen the Passion Play, those kind of things, man. That same power, man, that moved the stone, that raised Christ from the dead. That same power is alive in where? Our mortal bodies. That's our physical bodies. God has given us power over our physical bodies. My body can walk in health according to the stripes or upon his back, according to the cross of Jesus Christ. I know this because why? Because he has given me the power, what? To give life to my mortal bodies through his spirit which dwells in us. He's given us powers over our bodies. Oh, Pastor, I just can't control my flesh. I just can't control my flesh. I say, we can. We can control our flesh. We can control our flesh if we will yield to the Spirit of God and allow him to have power over our physical bodies. 1 John 4:4 talks about power to overcome Satan. He's also given us power to overcome Satan. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world. Now, let me say this today, that Satan is what? Is a created being. God created Satan. Now, think about that for a minute. God created Satan. And I want to tell you that Satan is not Frankenstein. You say, Pastor, what are you going with Frankenstein? How many's ever seen the movie Frankenstein as a kid growing up? You ever seen one of those? Yeah, I used to love staying up Friday night late and watching the old black and white Frankenstein movie. You know what I'm talking about? All right. So I watched this quite a bit. And in this story of Frankenstein, it always happens that Dr. Frankenstein created what? The monster. And the monster ends up what? Turning on him and killing the doctor. Okay? The monster became greater than the creator. Well, how many know today that Satan is not Frankenstein? That he's not greater than the creator. That he was created by God, and therefore he cannot and will not and will never not defeat God. And so today we have power to overcome Satan. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Talking about Satan. We have power over him. We have power over Satan. We have power over sin. We have power over our physical bodies. If we will tap into the all-powerfulness of who God is in our life. He has supreme power. He has absolute power. Let's talk about the word that the Father is, number two, omniscient, all-knowing. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. God knows everything. Everything actual and possible. All events. He knows all events. He knows all creation, past, present, and future at the same time. Isn't that hard to comprehend? God knows all events, past, present, and future. He knows all creation, past, present, and future. He knows all events, past, present, and future, all at the same time. That means that he knew what happened 5,000 years ago, and he knows if the Lord tarries, what would happen 5,000 years from now. He knows it all at the same time. He has that ability to be all-knowing. He knows it all. I think you've heard me say this before when we was talking about the Holy Spirit. But God can't learn anything new. You ever thought about that? There's nothing new that God can learn. Because if he can learn something new, that means he would have to change or would change. So saying that the Lord can never change, that God can never change, means that what? He must already know it all. He is all-knowing. That our God is all-knowing. He can't learn anything new because he already knows it. God doesn't think like you and I. That when you and I think about things, what do? We always try to figure things out, don't we? in our mind, when something's happened, we try to figure them out. What's this really mean? What's he really saying? What's this really have meaning in our life? And we try to figure things out. Everything in our life, we're trying to figure it out. God doesn't have that problem. God doesn't try to sit around and figure things out. He's already got it figured out. He already knows. He has it under control. He understands it. He doesn't have to try to figure things out. He has it already figured out. Nothing just ever occurs to him. You know, we say, this just occurred to me. It doesn't happen to God. Things don't just occur to him. He knows it already. God has never been confused, you know, unlike us. God is never confused. He understands it all. I think that the best described in Job, the book of Job, now, as my middle son likes to call it, the job, he said, Dad, one time, he said, Dad, a couple years ago, Dad, he goes, you ever read that book that tells you how to get a job in the Bible? I'm like, what? He goes, you know, it tells you how to get a job. I'm like, what? The Bible tells you, I guess, I'm just thinking in my mind, yeah, I guess the Bible will tell you how to get a job. He goes, you know, the book about getting a job, J-O-B, job. I was like, oh, that's Job, you know. So anyway, we're going to go to the book of Job. Job 38. Now, this is a great story because here we see that God is speaking out. He's speaking out. Look at what he says. Look what he says here. And then the Lord answered Job. Job had lost everything, and Job was a quite wealthy man. He had lost everything, and he's doing really good, but Job's having a really bad day. He starts questioning God. God, how much are you really in control? God, how much do you really know? God, how much are you, I mean, Job's having a really bad time, okay? And he's questioning God, and look how God responds to him. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is it? Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Look what he says, now prepare yourself like a man. Boy, you ever had those moments with your kids? You say, listen, young man, pull your pants up. We're going to have a big boy talk right now, okay? This is what God's saying to Job. I mean, it's so much. I mean, you guys think I can be sarcastic at times. Wait till you read this. This is so sarcastic, and God is really getting the point across. He said, now prepare yourself like a man, Job. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Listen, son, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you will answer me. None of this I don't know stuff. You will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. I don't know, God. Who determines its measurements? Who decided how big the earth would be in its universe? Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched the line upon it? Surely you know, Job. Don't you know this? Look at verse 12 says. Let's go to verse 12. You have commanded the morning since your days began, haven't you, Job? You're the one who gets up and say, hey, today's a new day. You're the one who commands the morning to existence and cause the dawn to know its place. The dawn knows exactly what time to be done. The sun knows exactly what time to come up. Look what he's saying. Surely, Job, you know this. Look at verse 16 to 23. He says, have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Surely, Job, you know how deep the ocean is. Surely you measured it out just right. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know this. Do you know this, Job? Job, do you know what's going on? Look what 34 and 35 says. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover the earth, cover you? He said, man, do you cause it to rain? He said, can you send out the lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are. Job, what's going on? We talked about, that covers 1623. I skipped that, 16 through 23. Look at all that. Back up one scripture there. Okay, I missed one of the verses, and it talks about, he says, hey, did you cause it to hail? He goes, where do you keep the snow, Job? That's what he asked. He says, Job, do you cause it to hail? Job, where do you keep the snow? I mean, you're talking about God really saying, Job, I'm all powerful. He even goes on to talk to him and says, hey, the lightning has to come and ask me permission where to strike. I mean, you talk about our God, all-knowing, all-powerful. He says, Job, I know you're having a hard day. And Job, I know you're questioning if I really know what I'm doing. But listen, when's the last time you spoke the world into existence? When's the last time you told the lightning where to strike? When's the last time you told the sun when to come up and when to set? When's the last time you made it snow? When's the last time you commanded it to rain? Job, when's the last time you spoke the waters into existence? Job, where were you? Were you there? kind of like us sometimes. God was saying, listen, I'm all powerful and I'm all knowing. I have everything. That just means that God already knows every difficult problem or situation we're going to face for me and my family. And he has a plan to bring us out. Wow. That means that God knows every difficult thing that you and I are going to face. And he has a plan to bring us out. That means he knows the disappointments we're going to have. He knows the hurts we're going to have. And he has a plan to sustain us through it and to bring us through it. And there will be sunshine on the other side. And there will be a happy day. And there will come a time again when you receive your joy. There will come again when you receive your peace. He knows everything that we go through in our life. He has it worked out. The third thing we see here in the word omni, we see the omnipresent. He is omnipresent. The Father is omnipresent. He is all present. He is fully present in all places at all times. Let me say it again. He is fully present in all places at all times. There is nowhere God can't go because he has no limits. Let me say it again. There is nowhere God can't go because he has no limits. God is everywhere and is there. Look what Psalms 139, verses 7 and 8 says. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. He's saying this, that man, there's nowhere I can't go. To God, you aren't there. Let me make another statement to you to think about, one of these statements. God doesn't travel. You ever think about that? God doesn't travel. Why doesn't he travel? Because he's already there. He's already there. Come on, you know he's there. He is there. There's nowhere in the world we can't think of that God is not there now. God is there. He's everywhere. This is our all-powerful God. And our minds have a hard time comprehending. How can God actually be there in this worship service in Africa today when we're at the same time here? I mean, we have a hard time figuring it out, but God is there. God is there. God is everywhere. This is our all-powerful God. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He doesn't have to travel because he's already there. God is above you. Is he? Is God above you or beneath you? Let me ask you that question. Is God above you or beneath you? Both. That's right. The answer is both. Good job. Pat your neighbor on the back. You did good. God is both. He's both above you and beneath you. Let me ask you, is God outside or inside you? He's both. He's both inside and outside. He's everywhere. See if you like this definition that I came up with. God is above all, presiding over us. God is above all, presiding over us. God is beneath all, sustaining us. God is outside of all, embracing us. And for those who allow him to come in, he is inside all of us who allow him to come in. And what's he doing? He's filling us. God is everywhere, sustaining us, presiding over us, filling us, embracing us. We serve a God who's all present everywhere. And we have a hard time understanding this because we can't do that. We don't have that ability. I mean, I can barely keep up with 5 kids, and I don't do a good job at that. How does he do it? Because he is omni. He has that presence to do it. What's that mean? It means when you're alone, that God's there. That means when you are sick, you get bad news from the doctor, that God's there. When you get bad news about things going on in your life, that means God's there. When you take that business trip and you think you're alone, God's there. When you think God's not watching, he's watching and he's there. When you feel like it's going to be a tough time this holiday season, God's there and he understands. The Bible talks about a time when we were far away from him. God talks about times that we are separated from God. What can separate me from the love of God? We talk about separation from God. Let me talk about what he's talking about. He's talking about unity, not geographically, okay? Because geographically, God is everywhere. God never leaves us, but we can walk away from unity with God. I can be far away at times, but yet God is right there. Let me say it like this. I can be in Brazil, and my wife be here in the United States, in Missouri, and I can be in Brazil, And we could be thinking the same thing. I could be thinking, all right, my kids got ball practice in 3 hours. The first practice, hope she don't forget the guys, kids, make sure they take their mouthpiece, make sure the pads are in, make sure you check all this up. And I can email her and she's emailing back. All right, you get a, who's got a ride? Who's picking up? I mean, we can be all the way across the country, but because we are in unity, it's like we're right there. Even though we're not right there. You understand what I'm saying? Well, it's like this. I could be in this room with a couple hundred people and I may be way over here and she may be way over there. And geographically, we're far apart, and there's a lot of people between us. But in unity, because we're husband and wife in unity, we're close. Let me give you another example. Or maybe just say hypothetical, okay? I guess whatever happened to us. Let's say after church, she says, honey, I'm going to go out to eat. And I say, honey, I'm really tired. I want to go home and eat. She's like, well, I didn't fix anything. I'm like, oh, why didn't you fix anything? I don't want to pay for dinner out to eat today. I wanted to save money. Well, I'm tired. I don't want to fix dinner. Well, why didn't you plan ahead and have it already ready, something easy, you know? So, you know, where are we going to go out? We're going to go home. And we have a little tiff here at church, and on the way home, we may be very close in the car. Geographically, we may be right next to each other. But how many know that right at home, we're far apart? There's not much unity there, is there? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? We can, even though God is there, we can be far apart in unity. And so God is everywhere. He's right there, but we can walk away from fellowship with him and therefore be far from him. So when God says that we are far from him, he's not talking about that he's in the heavens way away from us. It's that we are walking away from unity with him. And so knowing that God is everywhere, he's all present, that God is here. And so I have to tap into that and say, God, I want to walk in unity with who you are. I want to walk in unity because you're right here. You're right here, God. You are here. When I get up tomorrow morning, you're there. When I go to bed tonight, you are there. And so I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk in unity with your spirit. I'm going to walk in fellowship with who you are because you're there. God is there. Look what Genesis 28, 16. Look what Jacob was saying. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And what's he saying? This is really tricky. Look at it again. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He's saying two things at the same time. God was here, and God is what? God is here. He was saying, God, surely God was here, and I didn't realize it. But he's saying, now I know it, and I'm going to walk with him. Now I know it, and I'm going to experience it. So Jacob knew, so surely God was here all along. Even though I didn't feel him, even though I didn't know it right away, now I see God has always been here. That's what happens in our Christian walk. We walk in fellowship. We're like, man, this is so good, God. You've been there all along. How unwise was I not to walk in fellowship with you? How unwise was I to not fellowship with you? You've always been here, God. You've always been here through my darkest day and through my darkest hour. You have been here. When I rejected you, when I ran from you, you were always there. Surely the Lord is here. You were there then, and you're here now. To now, I'm choosing to fellowship with you. Now, I'm choosing to walk in unity. Now, I'm choosing to be with you. You got to know it. You got to realize that God is here. If you feel far from him, it means that we're not walking in unity with him. You ever had someone say, man, I just feel so far away from God? I say it's because we're not walking in unity. We got to learn that God's there. He's not leaving us. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's not leaving us. And we can't leave him. You know that? We can't leave him. He's going to be there, but we can walk out of fellowship with him. We can walk out of unity with him. And so when we feel far away from God, that means we're far away from unity with him. We're far away from fellowship with him because he is there. He has not pulled his spirit away from the earth. His spirit is still alive and well here on this earth. He is here. There will come a day when he pulls his presence away from the earth. There will come a day when he'll pull his Holy Spirit away from the earth, when he calls the church home. And there'll be a time when we know that to happen. But right now, we're living under the grace that his Spirit is here. He is omnipresent. He is here everywhere. And so we have to walk with him. God has all power. He has a power that means what? He has a power to set me free from any bondage that we're in our life. The fact that God has all power is the power to set me free from any sin, any habit, any bondage I have in my life, that God has the power to deliver me. God has all knowledge. He has the knowledge to guide me every day, to face whatever it may be. He has the knowledge to sustain me. He has the knowledge to bring me through. He has the knowledge that he's going to help me have a better day. He's going to direct my path. And God is all presence. We can sense and feel him. His presence is every day. If we decide to walk with him and talk with him, we will feel that unity like we're so close to him. That's who our God is. These are the attributes of our God. As we get ready to close this morning, thinking about this thought that the Spirit of God is here. That the Spirit of God is here in our life. That the Spirit of God is here. Right here, guys. It's all right. Okay, it's all right. Look right here. Hey, the Spirit of God is here, okay? The Spirit of God is here. He's here. Do we miss it? How often do we miss it? I mean, we can come into church and miss it. So how easy is it to miss it when we get up tomorrow? It's here. But it's up to us to walk in the all knowledge of who he is. Man, do you realize that, man? We have the every answer we need is found in him. I don't have to Google everything when it comes to my spiritual life. The answers I have and direction I have, if I will walk in fellowship with him, I'm led by the Spirit every day. He can lead me and guide me. He has the all knowledge. He's everywhere. He is here. I can't run from him, even though I think I can. We say that I was running from God. No, you was running with God. You just were out of fellowship with him because we can't leave because he's everywhere. So we got to unite with him. Don't just be close to him geographically. No, well, God's here. No, know him intimately in unity. See the difference. Knowing that God has all power, all knowledge, and he's all present. That changes the way we serve the God of the universe, doesn't it? Changes the way we pray to him. It changes the way we serve him. It changes the way we live for him. It changes the way we communicate to him. It changes the way we worship him. It changes the way we live for him. It changes who we are when we have a revelation. Wow, this is how big our God really is. This is him. Wow, what an awesome God we serve. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I really this morning, as you're talking about walking in fellowship with God, this morning I need to make things right in my heart with God. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never done that before. Or maybe I have, but I've been out of fellowship with him for a long time. Today I want to rededicate my life. Whether it's your first time today or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, because you've been out of fellowship with him for a long time. I would not embarrass you in any way, but no one's looking but me. If you're here today and that's you and you want to make that decision to follow after Christ, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Get back into right fellowship with him. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two? Just raise your hands. Raise it high. That's you today. Today, before we go any further, let's say this prayer together, can't we? Let's all repeat this prayer, especially those who raised your hands today. We want you to pray this from your heart. Let's say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Son of God, and I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can give a hand clap. Those who prayed that prayer today. Before you leave today, if you prayed that prayer, we have a special packet for you in the back. It's got a free Bible and some other material. This kind of tells you what to do next. Make sure you stop by and pick that up. You need to get involved with people around you who will help support you and make you a stronger Christian, people who can help disciple you and encourage you. And today we... If you don't have a church home, we say, make sure you get plugged in. If you like it here, get plugged in here. We'd love to have you a part of our church family. Well, today I'm going to invite you to stand up. We're going to close in prayer. And my prayer today is this, that God today, that we would walk in his presence in a new way this week. As we realizing that God is there, that it would change the way we talk to him. It would change the way we act in front of him. It would change the way we treat each other. It would change the way we pray to God, communicate to him. Knowing that he's all-knowing, he's all-present, and he's all-powerful. It changes. It changes the way we think. Father, today, Lord, we just lift our hands to you today as a sign of surrender to you, God. As we lift our hands to you as a sign of surrender, as we close out the service today, Father, we say, Holy Spirit, come today. Fill our hearts, fill our lives fresh and anew. God, we want every good gift you have for us. We want everything you have for us today. And God, as you're filling our hearts, as you're filling our lives today, Lord, I pray that, God, we would have a realization, God, a fresh realization, God, a revelation of who you are, that, God, you are everywhere, you're all present. And, God, we can't get away from you, and you're there. So since you're there, we might as well walk in unity with you, walk in fellowship with you, talking to you differently, relating to you differently, knowing that, God, you have all knowledge and you have all power, that, God, you've given us the same knowledge to tap into. You've given us the same power to tap into. And, God, you give us your presence that is here everywhere to walk with and abide with in fellowship. And, God, today I pray as we lift our hands up to you, God, as we close out the service, Lord, we say, Holy Spirit, today, change who we are. Help us to continue to grow in you. Help none of us to stay complacent in our relationship with who you are, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, may we continue to grow and seek after you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Turn around and shake a few hands. Make sure if you're on sitting to my right or left, we're taking up the chairs, not in the very middle. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a leadership session, so make sure you're here at 6 o'clock. Those who are leaders, the rest of you, make sure you have a great week. God bless you.